Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 197 of the Beyond 90 podcast, Australia's longest running women's football pod. Eric Subihana here with Majella Card, Emma Burke, and Dale Roots. We've got dub semi-final action. We've got UEFA Champions League semi-final action. So much to talk about. So let's crack on. But firstly, I think I'll start by checking in with you, Dale, because you had a weekend down in Wollongong. Is that correct?
Did had a
Yes.
birthday on Saturday. A friend of mine, we went mini golfing. Well, they went bowling. We went to the bar outside an escape room. We went to the bar outside a drag show.
Hey.
We saw all of the sights of Wollongong that are culturally relevant to me on a day-to-day basis. No, it was great. It was good to see all of my old workmates. But yes, it did mean that I missed the dub. Which was unfortunate on Saturday, but all in a worthy cause.
That's good to hear. And Emma, did you watch the Melbourne City hosted second leg? That's terrible
I
English, I'm sorry.
didn't get to
Oh,
because
okay.
I tragically was at work. I saw the Sydney Central Coast game, which was pretty good. Been watching more Buffy, and the internet is now scaring me because I'm up to season five, and everyone keeps, it feels like they're all like, "Oh, you poor thing."
Oh,
And now I'm
see,
so scared.
once you get there, I can tell you the story of me and my roommate at the time watching season five and what our
I'm
reaction
really
was.
excited. I'm really excited for this, but I'd
At like
only
11:30
watched.
at night, because that's what time it was on when it was actually going to air back in the
That's
day. It was Channel
incredible.
7. Did not get to show it the respect it deserved. By the way, I mean, I do try to we do try to live with the old person stories, but Emma, the networks used to do this to us all the time.
This one
It's
I
like
am aware
we were meant
of.
to be WOSO fans because the mainstream networks back in the day were for basically forcing us into terrible sleeping. Absolutely. So, good to see you being getting on with the Buffy. Also, the pre-pod chat, I found out you are also a fan of Sporkle.com, and
Yes, my
that's
best friend.
yes. Then,
Learning, got to get all those countries of the world correct. All the flags. Do also love their 151 original Pokemon quiz. That one's a good time. Good stuff.
And that if you got any time to kill, Sporkle.com, highly recommend it. Madge, how's your week been?
Good. I've been about as productive as spending some time on Sporkle, but yes, just not liking watching football. Got a couple of dubs semis, some Champions League. Yeah, so good times with the football.
I was at Leichhardt Oval. I must say, well, I mean, we'll get onto this. The vibes were, I think, about as good as it could possibly get for a dub game, but plenty of reasons why. We'll get onto that later. Before that, we have today's featured Matilda, an incredibly famous and popular Matilda. Also, for those of us, if you're like me and you use the phrase "born this century" as a sign of how young someone is, when this person made her senior debut, it was quite the shock to the system. It's Cap 197, Ellie Carpenter made her Matilda's debut as a 15-year-old in 2016, so I think just before her 16th birthday. Shout out to a grassroots club, Cowra and District Junior Soccer Club. She's a defender with 75 caps and 4 goals for her country, and all 4 goals celebrated in the most enthusiastic way possible. Who wants to go first when talking about our beloved right back?
Oh, well, I'll start off. She's played for my club. She's a
Yes.
country girl.
Yes.
She's one of the best things to come out of country footy in the last decade, really. I mean, she's been going strong with the Matildas now. I think that she's definitely on the right track to be our highest, like our most capped Matilda. Probably before like 25, or before 30 rather, because she has played just about every game she's been a bit available for since,
Yes.
like the 2019 World Cup and before that, really. Incredible operator for the Tilly's incredible golden retriever energy. We were talking about this last week. She is up and down like it's going out of fashion. She's got an incredible engine. She's well loved by teammates. And she's, you know, she's doing the business in Europe as well. I mean, Ellie Carpenter is, I think, in terms of her football cachet, I think that she is not necessarily the most commercially successful, for want of a word. Obviously, Kerr is far and away the most successful, being the face of Nike. But I mean, in terms of her footballing, in terms of her trophy cabinet, like it's pretty impressive. And as long as she stays at Lyon and stays on the good books, and yeah, she's probably going to continue to build that resume, which is quite impressive at the moment. But yeah, she's one of the, I think at this point, she's probably, aside from Kerr, she's probably first on the team sheet for the modern Tillies.
Oh yeah, and celebrated her 24th birthday on the weekend. If I
Ah, there
yeah,
you go.
so birthday's 28th of April, if I remember correctly. So yeah,
Excellent timing by me,
yeah,
specifically changing my point from 25 to 30.
yes, well done you. And it's oh God, 24, and has been around for the best part of a decade. That's
Yeah,
amazing.
8 years she played at the 2016 World Cup, 2016 Olympics, did you say?
Yes,
Yes, you
yeah,
did. Yeah, which is
yeah.
just silly.
That was just
The
bizarre.
thing that depresses me even more is that the young one is now actually the not so young one anymore. So it's just the wheels of time keep turning. But yeah, she's been like such, like I mean, I don't know how much you can say about it. Just like, yeah, just energy for days. And like her ability to even to cross the ball in with that energy as well. You know, to beat players in that attacking sense and provide a real impetus from the back and you know running up the wings like Australia loves to play. But one thing I actually at work with a new Matildas fan a post World Cup was able to introduce them to Ellie Carpenter getting absolutely sconned in the face by a football back very early days. So that's one of my most recent memories. Not the best one for Ellie, but she like, but it's just typical of her attitude as well. She took that like a champion. Was absolutely sconed with that clearance and but popped back up and just kept powering on. So pretty much Ellie Carpenter to a T.
Yeah, well, if you guys thought I was young, Ellie Carpenter is younger than I am, which was terrifying to realize for me. Because yeah, I remember watching the Matildas at that Olympics 2016 in Rio and just being floored. The time zones were also insane, so I may have also just been like insanely sleep deprived. But there was that game that we played against the US, I believe, and she pocketed Megan Rapinoe, if I'm remembering correctly, and it was the craziest thing that I had seen at that time. It probably still ranks quite highly for being just insane behavior. She had that very successful stint at Melbourne City as well, in case anyone forgot. Melbourne City, very good team, good times. Yeah, no. And one of my other like favorite memories of her, again, it's not like a nice memory because I think she'd literally just done her ACL in the Champions League final, but she's like hopping on one leg to get to the team celebrating. And I feel like as much as that memory kind of would suck for her because she'd done her ACL, but that really shows how committed she is to a team and how much she loves her football.
She
Because
had
even
so
though
much more
she,
speed hopping on one leg than
yeah,
I with two.
yeah.
Right? That was crazy.
I think there's a photo of her like celebrating with her teammates who are on the ground, and she's in a knee brace, like try like kind of leg out to the side, trying to join the celebration. I'm just like, oh, bless you.
Yeah, so that's got to be one of the things that really stands out to me is her commitment. The other thing was how quickly she came back from her
Oh,
ACL
9 months.
because she wanted to be here for that World Cup, for the home World Cup, and she was. So you cannot deny she's got heart, and it's all for the Matildas. So.
Yeah, and I think I was one of the first to see her regularly when she was that 15-year-old charging up and down the touchline for the Wanderers. And yeah, that was looking even younger than she does now. And I was just like, how is this possible? How is this child so good already? But yes, so yeah, it kind of we've in a way we've kind of watched her grow up, and yeah, it should be a lot of football ahead of her. And
Just
I think.
a fact just before you jump forward, wild fact, she'll be 32 at the Brisbane Olympics. So make of that information what you will.
What? Oh,
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Actually, her age compared to certain big events is actually fairly easy to figure out because she was born in
yeah, because
2000.
she's a
It's
2000 baby.
yes, it's actually
Yeah, it'll
relatively
be
straightforward.
that group of players. I'm just having a quick look through the dates of birth of all the players. Mary Fowler's 21, has 50 caps. Ellie is 24, has 75, and then there's this like she's in that big group of players who's kind of emerging into the national team. But yeah, there's no reason why she couldn't be making 200 appearances for the Tillies.
Yep.
That's insane.
That's
Yeah.
so many appearances. Well, I think, I mean, as I try to be some kind of football brain for once, I think if you want your wingers to kind of drift inside and help the centre forward, it certainly helps if you've got a right back like Ellie Carpenter running up and down and up and down and up and down all the game, because you know that overlapping run will always be there to help the attack on that side. Long may it continue. Now, we do have some somber news. If we had to cover this at the top of the podcast, it really could grow greatly affect the future of the Australian national team. Harper Gorry feels Swedish, and this is important news that we have to cover. But more seriously, there was a video that came it came across our Twitter, filmed by Katrina Gorry's partner, Clara Markstedt. Minnie is trying to tell Harper that she is Australian, and she is bombing. And she's failing, and she is failing. As badly as someone could fail, because Harper is. You have to see this video. It's embedded in the show notes if you haven't already. But just having quite the tantrum and insisting to her Matilda's legend mother, "No, I'm Swedish. You don't understand." I mean, any thoughts on this? I mean, well, it's
Children
not
should
an
be
official
seen and not
declaration.
heard. Hot take.
Yeah.
My
It's
only
such a shame to
thought.
get rid of her out of the Matilda socials for the next several years.
My only thought is that, as far as I'm aware, Katrina is part Italian. I would not be arguing like that with my Ital like I have an
Oh.
Italian mother. I would not argue with her like that.
Oh.
Harper is very brave.
Also, this discovery is. Now suddenly, if Minnie's part Italian, now a lot of things make more sense. That
Well,
makes
she calls her mother Harper's nonna, so I'm
okay.
assuming
Yes.
it's WOG related, and she also has pierced ears as like a 2-year-old, which is also very much WOG
Oh,
behavior.
I also you saying this has now made me real the pierced ears. As infants, oh, that's also a Filipino thing. So that's one more thing we have in common with the Italians. But anyway, back to this ongoing international saga, this international tug of war.
I just dread when we're going to see the half and half jersey come out.
Well, at least
No.
it's easier to sew. Like it's all
Yellow on
gold.
yellow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you don't have to worry about the pattern.
What if Italy get involved? Then this is going to be a right mess.
But.
It's going to look like the Mariners home jersey.
Nobody wants that.
No.
We've lost enough players to Italy. Well, we've lost enough players to European national teams in
Yes, that's
the recent past, so
Happer.
yeah,
Yeah,
not
I mean,
allowed.
now well, I
please
thankfully.
give her a quick run against China.
Sabra, we need to make a knockout penalty
We need
shootout
to
again
make
so we can
something
bring
through the
her on
sanction.
and not
China
have
won't
her
do it.
take
That's a friend. The
oh
games
well it's
against China
friendly
won't do it. They're
of
friendlies.
course
We need
yeah
some
not take a
tournament.
penalty
I'm
afraid
yeah
we're gonna have to waste a spot on the roster dealing with this guy. We have no choice.
incredible scenes as 2-year-old makes bow
We won't even
against
have to qualify for the Asian Cup, will we?
no
no
No.
So they won't be competitive. Oh.
Absolutely. Oh, no.
What about our own made-up tournaments? Do they count?
I
Like
know
Cup of Nations?
they have to be FIFA accredited. It has to be
Oh,
like
God.
Asian Cup qualifiers, Olympic qualifiers. Look, Oceania is right there. We just moved back for one World Cup cycle. New Zealand don't qualify.
Yes.
RIP New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, actually, that's two birds with the one stone. That'll help Tamika Gallup's kid make her mind up. If we just knock New Zealand out for a cycle, then oh, I've gone blank. Harley? Yes.
Yes,
Yeah,
Harley.
that's right. We could also, but while we're on the way, I mean, can we steal Liv Chance's kid? I don't know. I mean, it looks like that argument's already been lost, but
Can try.
yeah.
We can try. It's not over till they're capped.
Correct. Yes. So you may laugh now, Clara Marks, and to be fair, she did laugh a lot in that video. But thankfully, it's not binding. I mean, I actually, speaking of kids talking about playing for nations, I actually have seen a childhood video of Harry Kewell saying he wanted to play for England. He did not, thankfully. So,
It's one of the reasons that he ended up going to Leeds instead of Brett Emerton having to go to Feyenoord,
yep, that's right,
because he had
because
the English
Harry.
heritage as a British passport.
Didn't need a work permit. Brett just couldn't get it done, and
Exactly.
it
Didn't
worked
have
out well.
enough caps for the senior national
It worked
team.
out well for Brett in the end, though, as must be said. Okay, that's enough of a tangent while talking about effectively children having tantrums. Let's talk about actual football. Dub semi-finals, second leg results. So, in a thrilling game and a great occasion, Sydney won, Mariners won. So Sydney winning 2-1 on aggregate and much more lopsided in the other one. Melbourne City 3, Newcastle nil. So City win 6-0 on aggregate. That leads to the Dub Grand Final, Saturday 4th of May, 4:15 p.m. at Swan Street in Melbourne. Melbourne City versus Sydney, shown on 10 Bold, 10 Play, and Paramount Plus, the way it should be. Although, of course, if you can at all get to this game and attend and try to let's break some records. It's been the season for breaking attendance records in the Dub. What's one more? Let's do it. But first, let's talk about these semi-finals. And of course, I mean, Sydney Mariners, just I think the bit unfortunate for the Mariners, but they've had a great season. But I think Sydney just a little bit better in the key areas when it counted. But well, I don't know what you three thought about it.
I think that pretty much sums it up. They just had that little bit of extra quality. Mariners had some chances, got a goal, but I mean, Sydney looked pretty in control most of the game, I thought.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think it was Sydney's wastefulness that kind of kept this match as close as it was. It was definitely less, it was definitely closer than the first game. I think Sydney had a lot more opportunities in the first game, but it felt like Sydney were doing everything possible to keep this close. The Mariners had enough. Well, as I said, it wasn't so much that Mariners had as many opportunities. It was just that Sydney just they were wheeling the ball into the net and they just couldn't make it happen until Hawksby scored that goal, which I must say was quite nice. But it was just it was one of, as we see with so many of these knockout games, it's not necessarily the team that plays the better football. It's the team that makes fewer errors that ends up winning a lot of these games. And I think that like Butterway's goal obviously was quite nice as well. But again, it was kind of a single moment that allowed that to happen, as opposed to like a continual build up of pressure, like you, and that kind of stood true for the other game as well. But we'll get onto that later.
Yeah, although that Mariners goal was strange. Sydney normally reasonably structured defensively, but then they just let three Mariners players occupy the space between their defense and midfield, all facing forward. And then there was
Yeah.
obviously an overload centrally, so there's not much any one player could do about
Just
that.
everybody just kind of getting their heads in the wrong spot, and kind of, yeah, as you said, just, well, as I mentioned, use a basketball analogy, basically using, perimeter defense. When you've got a player on the post, you can't just all stand around and look at them. You've got to kind of close down a little bit better than that. But yeah, I mean, Abadawere is again another one of those players. It's such a what if. She's been so good this season. I think she might have 5 goals this season. I could be wrong,
Feel
but
like it's more, but I can check that
yeah.
quickly.
But again, another one that like Sydney have been screaming out for a finisher, And Badawiya was a player that they let go to the coast. So, I mean, it's kind of their loss. But yeah, this is a top game. What do we say? We're talking about this off mic, Eric. 7,600 people.
7,063. That's in the show
Yeah,
notes. Thanks for reminding me.
7,063,
Yes.
which is
Great, great
like,
atmosphere.
and again, we kind of dunk on Leichhardt in terms of elite sport, but like this is the perfect event for it. Everybody's sitting in the sun. You can go and get your snow cone or whatever they're giving away at
Oh, I did, trust me.
the canteen, and yeah, it's this is the perfect venue for it,
Yep, that's right.
which we love.
Yep, that goal again in the semi was Rolla Badawiya's eighth goal of the season, by the way. So.
Yeah, there you go. So 8 goals this season. That's a good return, all things
Good for
considered.
them. Yep. But yes, I mean, it was atmosphere-wise, it was absolutely brilliant. The Kovarin, good voice. I mean, and
Yeah.
the kind of thing, it's so big, and you just see people. Yeah, lots of people. He knew people he didn't expect to see. But yeah, all the as you mentioned, all the food trucks on the hill. I've embedded a tweet which has from B before and after. So B, I think, got there right when the gates opened, and then, but just seeing the hill fill up, absolutely wonderful. Yes. Also, I was shout out to Dean, the Wellington Phoenix fan, who was there and gave me a nice little match token, as he is wont to do. But also, I also got to sit next to Alyssa Wynnum as well, who is in Sydney. So that was a pleasant surprise. Alyssa might be deaf in one ear after my Tumuth related screaming, but oh well, I'm sorry, Alyssa. But
Price you pay.
yeah, that's unfortunate. But also, yeah, just in the dub, it's definitely a case of death taxes and Sydney being in the grand final. So Marissa Odanik saying 7 in a row and 11 out of 16, which is that's a lot.
But how
It's
many have they won?
yes, that's why we have a Melburnian here to bring up
But
that point.
how many have they
That
won? What's their conversion rate?
might have been made privately by many Victorians, yes. But thanks, Emma, for the perspective.
What
And
I'm here
for
for.
yes, and for reining in this potential Sydney bias on the podcast. But their conversion rate is yeah. Yes. Actually, what is it? It's not good. How many Dale, I feel like you might know this off the top of your head without me.
Did I lose 4 in a row? Two to City and two to Victory in opposite years.
20. They lost 3 in a row. They lost four
Yeah.
and is it
Or maybe it
might
was
be
four and
five and
five.
six.
Yeah, it
Five
was
and
four and
six, I think.
yeah, five
Because
and
it's
six years
like
because
two like
they lost to
something like two to
City.
City. Then they won one. They beat
They beat
Perth.
Perth.
Then
They
they
had the Olympico year. They lost
yeah.
2-1 at Kogra, and then they lost 1-0 at Amy Park the year before COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, the COVID season.
I
The end.
rest my case. Yes. It's
I didn't
fine.
even have to make it. Thank you.
Yeah, no,
That is okay.
that's the goal. So, I mean, it's not good content to see. Well, I mean, I should do. They've won. Sydney have four. Well, so that is as they go in with 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shooting at 400 is, you know,
It's
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 good
it.
if you're playing baseball. Unfortunately, not good if it's, you know,
Anything
the only other
else?
option is losing.
Yes, it's Well, that's the Sky Blues, their chance to make that incredibly mid grand final record slightly better.
Yeah.
But going back to the atmosphere thing, I'm glad there was a photo. Shout out to Dan Ullman for his wonderful work doing photography of the W League in the Sydney Bay games in the Greater Sydney area. I just like Annalise Rasmussen posing in front of her fans with the customized Rasmussen jerseys, some of them homemade, like good use of sports tape for the number 11, and then just writing Rasmussen on the biggest Elastoplast you could find. I love the ingenuity, and I mean, admittedly, it is giving Brisbane Roar in that Champions League qualifier against Saras Negros, except it's actually staying on.
Yeah, no,
So,
it's, I think the workmanship is a step up.
yeah.
Enough of events at Leichhardt Oval, though. Melbourne City versus Newcastle. I mean, those of us that like a bit of chaos or possibly are a bit selfish and wanted a Sydney grand final, hoping against hope, and then Melbourne City killed all of that pretty quickly.
Yeah,
Yay.
I would disagree. I would say that it wasn't City that killed this game. It was the Jets. And
Okay.
I know that's going to be
They did not want it. They wanted it for
hideous
like
take.
10 minutes
Yeah.
and they
And
did.
they needed to put it away. Like it was just once
They
it
could
didn't
have taken.
happen and
Yeah.
then City just wrestled back that bit of control, I was just like, well, this is done.
They could have taken a lead on aggregate within 20 minutes. They had
They could have,
four
and they didn't.
real, real opportunities in the first 20, 25 minutes. And there was that one where Melina Ayres got up and just like, up like a salmon, a spawning salmon. She was up there, and then unfortunately, the ball was much more slow coming down. But yeah, you just kind of feel for the Jets. I kind of feel like they played the grand final in the elimination final, and they just came up against a team that took their chances, and they didn't. And that was kind of simple mathematical equation.
I was at work when this game was on, so I strategically took my break when it kicked off because I wanted to see what happened at the start. And I was out here when I was in my little work break room, eating my little sandwich, being like, why are Newcastle not scoring? That like they had that random string of headers where there were saves off the line. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's like the ball was allergic to finding the back of the net for them. It was crazy.
It's probably a
But
good
yeah,
way of putting it, to be honest.
they absolutely could have taken this game to absolutely all the way to City, like it, and it felt like they were going to, and then they just didn't. Unfortunate for them. Not for me. I get a home grand final. Yay!
Yeah, well, there is the other side of the equation, as you say.
Yes, that's right. But what I, as I like Emma's take, but it's good for me. Enjoy yourself on the grand final.
I will.
I'm the way you're describing this, I'm reminded of something Dale sometimes says off mic when a team is having trouble scoring. It's the big white rectangle. Put the little white circle in
Yeah,
it, please.
come on.
That's it. That's it.
We are forgetting the basics of the game.
You score goal, you win game.
Yeah, I think that is a pretty good summation of the sport.
Unreal.
can't
Like, they
you can't lose if you don't score, but you also can't win.
can't win. Yeah. It gets to the point where you're watching them, and it's like, I know they are professional athletes that get paid, but also you're getting paid. Win the game.
Yeah.
Win the game so you could
Oh.
get play another game and get paid more.
It's like when you watch AFL games and they've got like a behind score of like 17. Just paying you. They're paying you. Please. Unbearable to watch at some points. Yeah, some of that first 20 or so minutes before Melbourne City decided they were not having it anymore were very hard to watch because I just couldn't believe my eyes. That the ball had not crossed the line. But yeah, it looked, the atmosphere looked grim. And I say this as someone who has supported City since they first came into the fold. Grim. I hate double headers. I hate them so much.
They haven't put out a crowd for this game, but I think that
I doubt they will.
you could probably have counted this manually,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
It was always very sad when the camera panned to there. I think there were three Jets fans that they kept panning to, and then just a few City fans. It was, yeah.
Sad,
Oh, yeah.
really sad, especially after having seen the scenes from the day before. Like, it was just grim. And
And you
then
would
you have
hope and you
one.
would think that seeing the scenes that can occur in Sydney, in Maitland, with Newcastle's games, like
This is Melbourne. It's so, Amy is, well, Melbourne Rectangular Stadium is so accessible. This isn't hard, guys. It's not rocket science.
And not just that, like The point that you make about accessibility and the vibes and the scenes at Leichhardt, like Maitland is not in Newcastle and still got 6,500 people to the game. Like it just reeks of A, poor planning, and B, just like the culture of kind of going out of your way to support the women's team just isn't there, which is so unfortunate because they've been so successful. But I
It's
think that,
giving apathy from
yeah, apathy
the
is a great way of
marketing
putting it.
team.
Yeah.
Like, does anyone at City Football Group care?
And I mean, what were the ticket prices like? Were they,
Well, it was a double header, so the
yeah, were they
tickets would have been the
stupid
price
expensive
for the
compared
men's
to,
game.
yeah. But I mean,
So,
it's like,
yes, the
yeah.
answer is yes.
I mean,
Stupid.
and I know stadiums are always a an issue, but
My
there's other
God, if. If
stadiums.
that's the problem, honestly, have it at the training facility. People would get down to the city training facility.
What about
Yeah.
Lakeside?
Hell, even doing it Lakeside. Hate that
Yeah.
place. Used to do my high school athletics carnival there. Bad place. But hell, even do it there. I would go there. I would face my high school demons and go back there.
Yeah. It's
Or again, it's about that publicity because I mean, when it's tacked on as a double header at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, nothing about that screams event. Nothing about it screams we're making a big deal out of this. Let's publicize it. Let's get people there. I don't know what the scheduling was like last weekend, but you know, it's Citigroup. Do it standalone at Amy. You would have
God knows they
gotten
have the
a better
money to do
crowd if you'd done something purposeful standalone
it.
and promoted it.
Completely agree.
It's not like they can't afford to pay the
Exactly.
stadium hire.
Exactly. If
Yeah.
anyone has the money to do it, it's big
Club has
oil over here.
an
And
ownership GDP larger than Victoria as a state, so
then
indeed.
there was the other thing. Was it that clip from, was it Offsiders?
Oh.
Oh yeah. I mean I yeah. Yes.
Absolute state of people commenting on this game. And I say this as someone who isn't even paid to comment on this game. What the hell are you doing? What do you mean have the grand final as a double header? What do you mean have the grand final hosted in Sydney when Melbourne City's been top of the table?
Spectacularly
What do you
dumb take.
mean?
We tried that, and I mean, in fairness, we did get a great crowd for it, but yeah, that's not
How many
quite how
people
it all
paid to get
goes.
in though? Because I mean,
Yeah.
as part of that alleged Western United home game, actually, in my work, I was actually encouraged by to promote these tickets that and get as much people to come down from the northern beaches as possible. So, yeah, it was a great crowd, but I mean,
At what cost?
yes,
I was just thinking that in terms
$0
of
for them.
the ticket price point that you make about this game as well, imagine M, it wouldn't have even, I know that it doesn't cover this usually, but it wouldn't have even been considered available for the Liberty Pass. So even if it was not a finals game per se in this hypothetical universe, like it wouldn't have been counted for free for the kids either. So like, because we've taken away the free tickets, we're making families spend $100 to go to this game. Like, I can completely understand why people wouldn't have gone to this at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, the last Sunday of school holidays, I believe, at the end of a long weekend. Yeah, just stinky, stinky.
Awful.
Thankfully, the grand final is not a doubleheader. Bit rough on Sydney FC fans who now have to choose their semi-finals, I believe, because the men have a semi-final on the same day, do they not? Which
Yeah,
is,
in Sydney, I
yeah,
think.
that is
Yeah, they play
yeah.
MacArthur at home.
I mean, they could
Oh.
they.
Well, you know, you should just have one team that sucks.
Okay, I'm trying.
I mean, for does that mean for large parts of my life I've been head of the game and I've supported clubs that have had many teams that have sucked?
I was going to say,
Yes.
looking through the catalogue of teams that I follow, definitely batting a lower average than Sydney FC's grand finals, put it that way.
Yeah, that's
But it does, I mean,
Robin
but it
would not
is.
know about this.
I unfortunately, I think it really it could well take away from the traveling support that Sydney would
That's a shame.
otherwise get, which I think is really unfortunate because I think, yeah, I mean, when you've got fans who are fans of both teams, you know, both teams in the club, yeah, the choice, even if it's just a monetary one, the choice of spending money to go to Melbourne versus, oh, I can stay at home and go and see my team at home, also in a final. So it's, yes, it's unfortunate that they couldn't get them on separate days, at least.
My only
Yeah.
take is whether Sydney will organise to open the ground at, because it's a 3 o'clock kickoff in Melbourne, if I recall correctly.
4:15.
4:15. So
4:15. It's
if
actually
they
even better for
if
that
they open the
priority.
ground at 4 o'clock and then allow fans to come in to watch the game on the big screen and then stay for the men's game, like that could be, that could work. But as you say, like that's the downside of kind of fostering this one club culture where you're kind of encouraging people to support both teams as actively as possible. But yeah, I think maybe that could work, but the club would have to splash out for it. And I'm sure that ground hire for that kind of stuff is not cheap.
And I mean, the brief A-League men's take, but I mean, they could have just played Sydney MacArthur on the Friday night because you, I mean, and if you say, well, what about, isn't that difficult for MacArthur's travelling fans? Well, that's an easy, there's an easy answer to that. They have no fans. So, yes.
Melbourne, the only other reason that they wouldn't have done that is because the other game is City Victory at Amy Park in the men's game, and that's being played on the Friday so that they can play this on a Saturday.
No, I think it's on the men's game is on the Sunday.
On
On
the
the
Sunday,
Sunday.
so yeah,
Very
either way.
controversially, oh wait, apologies for the A-League men's chat. Very controversially, originally 3 p.m. on Orthodox Easter Sunday
Yeah, we
in
can't have that.
Melbourne.
We can't have that.
And it has
Me
been
when I
moved to
don't know my
5 p.m.
fan base.
Yeah, the souvlaki trucks would have been tipped over. There would have been,
But no, because the Savaki trucks would have been where the business was, not at that game. So, oh.
Oh, there would have been tzatziki flowing in the street. It would have been like the Paris Commune. Do you hear the people sing? They sing a song in various Balkan languages.
Oh well, I mean, I there's a phrase I could say, but I won't because that I mean,
Let's not start any international
Yeah, let's
events.
not, that we don't need
No,
any more international incidents on this
no, no,
pod.
no, 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 no. Okay, try to wrestle this back to re relevant to something resembling what we're supposed to be doing. Just news items variously. Well, I mean, brief promotion of this. Yeah. Tough news for L. O'Grady. Her car's been stolen. Picture of it and a screenshot, I think, of her Instagram story in the show notes. Just get in touch with her via Instagram if you happen to see said car. That's awful. That's very, very grubby stuff. Back to more positive stuff. Yeah, another Marissa Dordain tweet. The dub has broken through the 300,000 mark for total attendance this season, regular and finals. We're huge, we're enormous, etc. Yes, we are. And then just an article, Sam Lewis's take on the two semis and the main take, which I agree with, Emily Husband deserves to be coach of the year. That's the most important thing. And there's other takes. The link in the show notes to read, but yeah, that's the main one. And then also, yeah, back going back to Kieran and something he wrote for, I think Impetus 71. Actually, I've got to change that link before I publish this, but just basically they interviewed, I think, was it? It was just a, like almost like a fan survey, but more qualitative in terms of what drew you to the dub, what keeps you going, blah 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 blah. And I think he summarizes key takeaways I liked. People came because of the World Cup, but stayed for the dub. Love to see that. Doubleheader is not a universal turnoff, but should be done correctly, sparingly, and selectively. Yes, he has more common sense than the schedulers. Anyway, our fans quickly got to know players. Yep, that's the accessibility point there. And media slash league slash clubs need to communicate with new fans in mind at times. Oh yeah, that's very important, and it could be done better. But yeah,
Yeah.
that'll be in the show notes.
As I said to you guys, or I tweeted rather, like, I was out at a pub the other, well, a wine bar, which is just a fancy pub. I was out
Yes,
at
it
a
is.
venue the other night, and yeah, I wasn't a soccer girly before, but before the World Cup, but now I'm a WOSO girly. Love to hear it. It was great chat. She had a few interesting takes, but very kind of like very enthusiastic, which was really good. And my dearly beloved was giving me lots of don't hear a lot of that in this part of the world. Just yeah, lovely to see. It's good to see that there's people kind of hanging on.
Yes. So, and also just another bit of promotion for those people that are interested. The R Game webinars as part of Female Football Week, which is at least in Football New South Wales territory, is 3rd to the 12th of May. See, we love it so much that we actually, it's not a week, it's 10 days. But yeah, a couple of webinars that you'll be able to sign up for. I'll link to all of that. 6th of May at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Women in Coaching webinar hosted by Kat Smith. Then 8th of May, also at 8 p.m., Women in Officiating hosted by Joanna Haraktis. I think that's how you pronounce it. And then the 12th of May at 8 p.m., this is the one I'm interested in, or more interested in the most, the Working in Football webinar. And that's hosted by a friend of ours, Samantha Lewis. So that 12th of May actually falling on a Sunday, that could be quite pretty convenient for a lot of you. So hopefully some of you sign up. Now, we covered what we thought was terrible news in a few pods ago, but turns out that the AFC actually want to complete the Women's Club Championship. Hooray! So, Urawa Reds will host Hyundai Steel Red Angels at Komaba Stadium on the 10th of May. Well done. Well done to you for being able to figure out logistics so that a team in Japan can play a team from Korea. Well done. Well done, you Confederation, whose footprint covers half the world. Anyway, oh,
I
I
literally a
mean,
boat that they could have taken to
yes,
get between these two countries.
it's the ferry. It's a ferry. It's and some taxis or whatever they have up. Anyway, well, at least they're going to finish it. Right. What else is there? A bit of recommended reading. Marissa getting an appearance again. This was actually, published before this week, the last weekend's action, but after the first leg of the semifinals, which had plenty of drama, just for ESPN, the rare TV appearance for the dub, a reminder of inequality. And it's like just saying, we loved, I think, the production values from the first leg, but she noted that was just because of, what was it, travel issues with the Central Coast Mariners men's team, turning a doubleheader into a standalone game, but they all had the infrastructure up there to broadcast, so they gave it the 10 out of 10 treatment, and we were all thinking, why
So
don't you
good.
just do that more often?
Yeah, that's the big benefit of doubleheaders in terms of the infrastructure. Can speak from experience, but I remember dub games used to get four cameras or three cameras at Fox, and men's games would get six, usually six or seven. Big games would get up to 20, but yeah, just really good to see that the kind of production quality is there when it wants to be, funnily enough.
So sometimes the hardest thing is getting people to care. Anyway, let's move on. I know Madge and Emma in particular had very strong feelings about this. A-League Women All-Stars news. The team will be coached by Joe Montemurro. I mean, yes. I mean, by the way, we're not in any way criticizing Joe Montemurro's coaching abilities. He's a very good coach and always stylishly dressed. But not currently in the dub. And yeah, I'll just leave it to Madge and Emma, who also got tweets into the pod article, by the way, for various levels of spiciness.
Well, I mean, look, I could just basically quote what I was saying, but it's like I understand the motives. Like, so he's ex-Arsenal. So you just know someone goes, oh, Joe's available. That'd be great to get him to coach the All-Stars team against Arsenal when they come out. But it just it when we're trying and I know Joe's, coached in the A League or W League as well, so it's not like he doesn't have pedigree in our local league either. But it's just when you're talking about something being an all-stars game, not not rewarding the coaching staff that have put the hard yards in this season just seems really off. And then yeah, and then just the way that they posed the assistant coaching appointments on the back of that as like being a great opportunity for these women to learn from Joe, which not saying that Joe's not a great coach, of course, but it just hit really wrong, and it's and yeah, it just doesn't feel right. And then following up, and the other take that I can't like that just does my head in is like, oh well, he's obviously just, being auditioned, or they're getting everyone ready for him to be the Matildas coach, which, you know what, he could end up being the Matildas coach, but I don't know if he even wants it. But it's just like the idea that people think that a football game promoter, APL and FA, can be coordinated enough to have some sort of placement coaching gig with this perfect coordination in the lead up to post Olympics is pretty fanciful, I think. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is now. But I just think it was a real missed opportunity to reward the coaching staff of our local league following a great record-breaking season.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I understand the motives, but I also don't care. I don't care about their motives. I care about my league. I care about my league and my coaches and the just rewards for the coaches that have done the damn work. Joe hasn't been in this league for a hot, hot minute.
Oh, it is very different, the landscape from when he was coaching it. A great success.
Very different.
Yes.
The whole new world out here. And no offense to no Joe Montemuros. Thank you so much for everything you did for Melbourne City, except for that one time you abandoned us mid season, and then Jess Fishlock had to drag that team. Yeah, just even like it was like the tweet that Kieran said that's also in pod notes was like, even when there's nothing at stake, they still can't let the women have a go. It's just
And even from a
again.
promotions point of view, I think you would have gotten heaps more value from him being a commentator during the game,
Yeah. Like he
providing color
knows
commentary,
so many of
sideline.
these players.
Absolutely. That I think that would have brought so much more value to the viewing experience than having him on the sidelines.
Because, like, what are we going to get now? Every third, like, close-up shot of him is going to be whoever the commentators are saying, oh, and look, there might be the new Matildas coach. There he is, guys. Get a good look at him. Boring. Tired. Don't care for it.
Whereas you
But yeah,
actually could have gotten
and
some real insight from him being a
yeah.
commentator on the game instead, from both the local game and from an Arsenal perspective. But
And then just the
what do we know?
wording, what do we know? The wording on the post about the assistant coaching. Literally, stick a fork in me. I am done. What? Why? Why would you write it like that? Why would you be like, oh, it's the brightest female coaches, and they've got a priceless opportunity? Like, no offense again to no Joe Montemuros, because I respect everything he's done. But honestly, I feel like he could learn a great deal from someone like Emily Husband. Or Cat Smith, even. Having him on as an assistant coach even would probably have benefited the players more, if that makes sense. If you can see where I'm reaching, my arms are very far extended on this one, but
But it's also,
Yeah.
I don't know how much everyone's going to be developing their game throughout this one exhibition.
Right. Like, how many times are these players, the A-League All-Stars players, going to get to train together before they play this game? Like, maybe three times
Yeah, they might have
if
a
we're
session or
lucky.
two. It'll mostly
If we're
be
lucky.
photo shoots and stuff with the Arsenal players and doing their media duties and stuff like that, but nothing. They're literally going to meet in the car park. I mean, a lot of them will have played at junior Matildas or young Matildas level, or like even at state level together. But yeah, nothing that's going to be to kind of groundbreaking. We'll also mention that Emily Husband has won a league trophy more recently than Joe Montemurro has. So make of that information what you will.
Oh, Eric, I think we've lost your mic somehow.
You're on mute.
Oh, God. Oh, I haven't done that in quite some time.
This guy. Get him out of here.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
And he was saying a lot.
I was saying a lot, but because as an NPL commentator, I'll just say it again. So Dale, of course, is referring to Emily Husband's running away with the 2022 NPL New South Wales Women's Premiership when she was at City University. On paper, they had nowhere near the best squad, but NPL New South Wales isn't played on paper. It's played on synthetic turf.
Played on
she
grass.
Won the league by 11 points. I mean, very occasionally it's played on grass. I mean, actually, NPL New South Wales, it's scheduled for grass, then gets washed out and has to be played on synthetic turf.
Anyway. A lot of her games were played on grass. Yeah. That is.
Oh, yes. Or whatever passes for grass at Sydney University football game.
Yeah.
The only other point that I will make is, like, since this is happening, I think we should have a fashion scoreboard for Joe and Jonas, just to compare the two at the game and see who comes out on top.
We need a runway walk, like in Zoolander.
Yep,
we need a walk off, and David Bowie has to be reincarnated to judge.
Because it should be nice and chilly.
It will be cold.
You know, lots of good opportunity for scarves or.
It's in Melbourne as well, so yeah, it will be cold.
Knitted jumpers or something, yeah. All right, that makes it all better.
We'll put that in our memo, our weekly memo that we send off to the bigwigs at APL and FA because we secretly run the leagues.
If we secretly run the leagues, there would be no double headers. Let's be very serious.
I don't think there'd be much of a league, to be honest.
It'd be us drawing names out of a hat, being like, who's going to play who this week?
I am also just obviously Joe gone from the Juve team and his success, his assistant's taken over there. So interesting scenes. They didn't win Serie A Femminile this year. So it might be nice for him to get a trophy. Whatever they're playing for on that game.
I mean, I just assumed the All Stars were playing for overseas contracts, but I suppose there'd be a trophy as well there. Now, sorry, I've been caught updating the show notes to make them a little bit more readable, but just the points not. Okay, by the way, good to see men calling this out. Men that actually aren't involved in A-League women, and actually Daniel McBreen and Patrick Svansvik. Didn't think I'd get the chance to shout out a couple of Mariners men's legends on this podcast, but I found a way, and they were just like, they're echoing what Madge and Emma have said. And also a more interesting point, which I saw somewhere else, Melissa Mazels will be the goalkeeping coach, which is fine. But then the point was made, so Victory can have a coach who plays Australian rules football, but they don't want any dual code players. Okay. Anyway.
While she was committing to one thing at a time, and that's what they wanted or something. I don't know.
If Casey Dumont also committed to knocking Melbourne Victory out of the finals. So... And again, once again, that's straight into the You Didn't Want Her Hall of Fame, that game. Now, what else is there? Oh, yeah, more Emma tweets. Yes, thank you. When you got a lot of positivity for referring to Sydney versus Central Coast Mariners as the roller derby, which is one of the great
very good
for a derby. Thanks to friend of the Beyond 90. Yeah, Nick Amies via me. I probably said it on this podcast, but Nick Amies came up with that. And I think in relation to a game coming up between two NPL teams Rollers played for, Sydney Uni and North West Sydney Spirit. And I think I passed it on to the commentator. I'm pretty sure they used it because that commentator's a good sport. Also, yes, that's right. I just love your reaction from the crowds at Leichhardt Oval, Emma. Look at our little league, guys. Look at her. Yeah.
Literally, look at her go, guys. Yes. It was so crazy seeing like the crowd at the Sydney game, because this is like the one story I always tell, but the first grand final I went to for the A-League Women's was Melbourne. It was Melbourne City. I can't remember who the hell they played. But there was like 4,000 people at that final. And I remember sitting there being like, oh my God, there's so many people here. And now look at us. Look at us.
It is one of those things. I think that, like, as I mentioned before, I think Sydney have really taken they're obviously having one of the only players in the league who played at the World Cup for the Matildas, but like they're really leaning into this one club mentality. And I think that having the Cove travel to the game on the weekend was a really nice touch, and obviously helped by the fact that they were playing Perth in the men's comp, which is kind of, like rolling a ball downhill. But yeah, the attractive prices, good location, get the socials out there. They've been doing a really good job, and I don't think there's much that you can complain about from the point of view of if you're a Sydney local going to these games.
And
Has an
also just
Arsenal feel to it. Hot take. Has an Arsenal women's feel to it.
Oh,
in that they
if only you
don't
were
win
there, Emma,
anything
because I feel like
important.
you're the
Yeah, it's just like,
They have good
they're,
crowds, but they don't win.
yeah, just kind of getting, well, I mean, that is true. Hey, they're the only ones
I'm
with the
an Arsenal
Champions,
fan, I can say
only
this.
one with the European Cup in the WSL. So,
This is true.
but yeah, just kind of like one, we've had these Sydney fans and Dub fans in general who have been there kind of through the dark days and long suffering. And it's the same kind of thing for Arsenal fans going out to Boreham Wood and still going to those games, and they're kind of rusted on, and now people have really started waking up to it, and they're like, oh, actually, I go to these Arsenal men's games and I go to the Arsenal women's games as well. It's not too far. So yeah, I think, as I said, I think that there's a bit of that vibe to it. There you go. There's your one compliment for the episode, Em.
Thank you so kindly.
That is
I'll take
okay.
it. Yes. Yes. Dale's people taking points off Arsenal, but they're giving a compliment.
Yeah.
And and
The real
Excellent.
points are the friends we make along the way. I've always said
I
that.
agreed. And not just because I can't remember the last time one of my teams won anything, but
Yeah.
yeah. Also, before we move on, yeah, just I love the tweet about Michelle Morris in my replies expressing her love for Tory Tumuth, which brings me back to my main point. When it comes to Tory, everyone eventually realizes that I'm correct. Now, Champions League. Lots happened in the UEFA Champions League. Barcelona clearly hurt everyone's shock over them losing a game at home, took it personally and knocked Chelsea out. Lyon held on against PSG in the French derby, the French fracas. And so Barcelona versus Lyon at, well, not a great time for us. It's the Devil's Hour, 2 a.m. Sunday, 26th of May, and they'll be in San Mamés in Spain. Although if, what do we think of this? Because that's a part of Spain that it's in the Basque country, so definitely not where Barcelona is from. So, and also not too far away for Lyon fans to travel if it's 2 a.m.
They will have many more Barcelona fans if Barcelona fans travel, because there is a direct high-speed rail link between the Basque country and Catalonia, up on the other side of the Pyrenees. The fact that the Pyrenees are there means that you have to fly from Lyon. You can't catch the train, have to go along the coast. But San Mamés is a great stadium, and I think it being in Bilbao is going to be is great stuff. In terms of the games, allegedly the worst decision in the history of the Women's Champions League on the
Which one?
weekends.
I've heard so many different versions of which one's the worst.
There were a lot of them, allegedly. No, the Khadisha Buchanan second yellow was pretty controversial. I didn't have too much of an issue with it.
Neither did I. I was like, I mean, the first one absolutely was a yellow. She was late and just lashed out. And then if you're on a yellow and you do something, you just leave yourself
Yeah,
open to that thing.
there was a whole conversation around, oh, she won the ball, but like she didn't win the ball. The Barcelona player kicked the ball into her shin, and then she stood on her foot. It's like, well, it was it a yellow? Maybe not, but like it could have been a yellow. And it was. And the ref was right there, right on top of the foul.
It's one of those ones, like, if it wasn't called, I wouldn't have been upset. Not that I would have been had strong feelings either way, but it's like, yeah, this is reffing. You know, they see it in a split second. You're on a yellow. You get someone's foot. It's always a chance.
Yeah. It's as you say, it was like the call was there to be made and it was made. And like, yeah, the ref could have been like in the mood to give another yellow card because she's just given that first one. Like personally, would I have given it a yellow? Probably not. I would have said, hey, stop doing that. One more and you're gone. But, you know, it's the same kind of thing with the dodgy penalties. It's like you've got to give the ref has a decision to make.
Yeah. And I think also, was it after the sliding tackle? I can't remember who it was, but the Chelsea player just completely slid, but completely missed them and didn't touch them. And the Barcelona player went down and that was called as a foul. So there just could have been some building resentment from some of the Chelsea fans, because that was clearly an incorrect call there. And then the pen, I mean, I actually think the game was still really fun and interesting after the red card. It was still, Chelsea was still sort of pushing forward and, you know, showing signs of life. And, but that, the pen, yeah, again, it's like, it was a pen.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a little clip. It wasn't like it was a, she was lunging in, but still it was kind of there. Soft and annoying for a big game. Yeah, maybe, but it's football. And
but that's what, that's, as you say, like that's what these games turn on. It's like, yeah. Oh, she got pushed. Okay, well, that's a foul.
You know,
like,
what? I originally thought it was for the push, which I didn't think was much of a push. But then she did actually clip it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of more, I think, more for the clip of the leg, which was unintentional. It was just both running. She was a bit behind and running behind, clipped her leg. She's over. That's a pen.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say, just to all fan bases around the world, regardless of your team, regardless of your colours. Can we all just get over the fact that time wasting and shithousery happens? It's going
don't
to
get...
annoy you when it happens against your team. But then don't complain. But then you want it done as well. So I don't know what I expect from the world. This is another one of Madge's yelling at a cloud moments, because I know the coaches and the media, it's part of the game for players to make a big deal out of these things and try and influence officiating and all those things. But, oh, just the round of, it's just like a roundabout of outrage about shithousery and time wasting. It's like, going to happen. And you want it done when it's your team and it's going to benefit you. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah. I got booked last year for kicking the ball away after conceding a goal, and would I do it again? Of course I would.
Yep.
Oh, so was it one of those you were up 2-0 and then became 2-1 or something like
we
that?
We were 3-0 up, I conceded, and then I kicked the ball through the back of the net into a patch of tall grass, and the ref booked me for time.
Well done. Love that.
And I was like, it's one of those ones where, like, you know, when they run into the back of the net to get the ball, I've always said, just kick the ball away then. So I did. I just kicked the ball through the net. This is what happens all age fives. but my apologies to those players from Coogee. I regret nothing.
That's the way it should be. I mean, easy for me to have a good attitude towards time wasting when you support players, not teams. But I mean, why not talk about what Torrey Toomey did against Central Coast Mariners? Oh dear, the things I have seen in the Futsal Premier League back when it had a running clock. And the things teams did to defend one goal leads, but Torrey using that experience. Also, firstly, for a late throw in, like if she was moving any slower towards the ball, she would actually been moving backwards away from the ball. But also, and then something creativity I've never seen before, wanted to throw into Central Coast Mariners. She just asked for the ball anyway from the ball kid. Reflexes took over. The ball kid gave her the ball.
Yeah.
And, so he has and then Jasmine Wardlow just looking for a ball, which isn't hers, which she can't get because Torrey has it. Torrey jogs back into position, then throws the ball at Jasmine. Love it.
Yeah. You got to throw the ball up really high when you do
Oh,
that as
that's
well.
okay. So that's Tori gets a 9.5 for that because she didn't do the looping parabolic arc. So
Yeah, or like just put the ball on the ground and like, but like spin it back towards you as you walk backwards. We see all this kind of stuff. This is the kind. This is, as you say, you can't be annoyed when your team does it. You have to appreciate the dark arts. It's part of the game.
It is. And
As is, no, what I do love is with fans is if it's happening against your team and it's your home game, absolutely whistle. Boo. Like it's pantomime in the moment.
oh
Absolutely
yes,
get on that. But then after the game, it's like, yeah.
you've got to,
It
yeah,
is
you
what
do
it
have to get
is.
over it though.
Whistling at players like that, in or whistling for the referee to blow the final whistle, one of my favorite things about football. Just
Oh, yes.
wish we
I
did more
actually,
of it in this
and the
country.
thing is, because I love how it feeds the best practitioners of the dark arts.
Yes, that's right. Oh, I had a video game, this is like more than 15 years ago, but that whistling happened.
Oh,
And
okay.
it happened at if it was the correct situation in the game. And if I was leading by a goal, it just fueled me. It's just like, I just played possession football. I loved it so much. But time wasting. How do we get here? Oh, yeah. Internet fan.
You
Software
brought us
Twitter.
here.
Yes. I,
You're in
yeah.
charge.
Yes. I, well, I think we found our first mistake, our primary mistake that we make every week. But hey, Chelsea, you sold Stamford Bridge out. That's something. Overseas Aussies takes are. I'll see if I do that. But actually, was taken by some tweets from Paul Wheeler. Does a good job, a great job covering English women's football. Just about Bristol City. They'll get relegated, but they've averaged 9,000 for their home grounds. They've won once all season. And also, I liked, by the way, Paul Wheeler, bilingual, can speak, tweeted in French and then very, I'm very grateful he translated this into English for monolingual people such as myself. Bristol City getting home crowds 9 times bigger than Lyon. Well, that's something. Long may it continue in the championship. At the very least, Bristol City, you'd think, would be well placed to bounce straight back to the WSL. That's all that. Anything does, apart from the Champos, anyone watch any other foreign football? I mean, it was a pretty full week. Didn't think so. I'll do the notes.
Come on to it in my Kings, Queens, and Emperors of the Week. But yes, there was a little bit of watching of football in my vicinity.
Yes. Okay. Steph, thanks to Stefan for doing the Aussies abroad notes, at least for Sweden. Keep an eye out for our next Nordic wrap. Vesna Milivojevic scored her first goal for Norrköping, game winner and a 1-0 win over Trelleborg. Also, she appears to be playing as a defender. Bit strange, but whatever works. Also, good news for all the teams at Aussies in the first leg of the Danish Cup semi-finals. AGF with Matilda McNamara and Ali Green beat Brøndby by 2 goals to 1, and Brøndby ahead of them in the table, so that's a big one. And then Nordsjælland playing a lower tier team, so Winnie Heatley's team won 7-0 over a team that I love this Scandinavian notation, NIF slash HG. So there's been a merger going on somewhere. Well, technically amalgamation. What else is there? Oh, just the tweet from Becky Taylor Gill. I mean, we've spoken about kids being chucked into pro environments before they're ready. So she expressing her concern over Olivia Moultrie, just about she's the youngest player in NWSL history to reach 50 regular season appearances. Should she have been? I
No.
see. Yeah. Yeah.
Just as an aside, it's like, is she also Kara Cooney Cross's long lost cousin?
Great shout. Absolutely apropos of nothing, but great shout.
I mean, well, much of much. I mean, this pod's best moments are apropos of nothing. So I think Madge just honoring Beyond 90 podcast history. Yeah, there's something to that, Madge. But
Both started very young.
yes, although I thankfully Kyra not starting quite as young as Olivia, and
Yeah,
yes,
you know, eased in with the dub a bit.
Because Moultrie committed to UNC when she was 13,
which is
and she never went. And then her and her parents sued the league so she could play. which is just bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, they're
Big too much,
like,
big we have too much money vibes.
right? Like, you should have gone to college so your parents could have spent that money on something good, like getting you an education.
Yeah, you would have got a free education, if, as much as I hate the NCAA.
Oh, true.
There's a whole
Never mind.
South Park bit about that. But
Well,
yeah. I'm sure
the
she's
whole
making
thing
it bad from
stinks.
Nike.
Yeah.
And no offense to no very young Olivia Moultrie's about to reach 50 appearances or have reached 50 appearances, but she doesn't like she. I don't think she's gonna be the breakout player that everyone or that she thinks she is.
Yeah,
And
tend to
like,
agree.
no, I
Gonna
mean,
be
no ill
the
will,
LaMelo
but
Ball.
it's not,
That's a
it's not
great shout. That's a great shout, Madge.
NWSL.
Yeah,
It's not
that's.
giving star power,
Yeah.
if that
You
makes
saying that she's
sense.
not a big baller, Madge?
Well,
Needs
not a
to just
great
get a
shout.
tattoo on the side of her
Yeah.
neck.
Yeah, I mean, her dad did not also say that he could beat Michael Jordan 1-on-1. But yes, it is interesting that, as you say, there have been so few players not go through college with the US system. Lindsey Horan is one that comes to mind, but she also went to, like, she went overseas and made her name over there for all of the negatives and positives that came of that. Now she's obviously one of their best players, so.
And I mean,
It's a
it's like
few
it's
more
not that
now, but
college.
like it's
It's not like college is the only pathway. But I think if we look at what's happened in the men's football world, I don't know if pumping young kids into academies and like what we're doing. I know sports business, and but it is very much a churn through the talent and see what spits out at the end. And I think you've, as a player, you've just got to have really good people around you, and because it's yeah, it's perilous. I think I don't envy, being some parents of a talented footballer trying to navigate best pathway through development. So, but yeah, this yeah. Her case is certainly.
The thing here is that it's not even giving, it doesn't even give chewed out and spat out at the end. Like she skipped the chewing part because she got her parents, like she and her parents sued the league. I feel like Portland's also partially to blame for this, but they have never really had a good track record with,
But I guess it's what it
human
does, that
rights.
it sets up that precedent of what players are going to come next that are going to take a similar path that maybe don't have the financial backing to support them through structures that are able to be circumvented and not have those strong protections in place. Yes, it's all well and good if you've got strong representation and structures around you as an individual, but when not everyone has that, that's where I think we can just get, some, and I, you could point to multitudes of examples in other sports and in men's football, where it hasn't worked out for the best.
There are a couple of other like very, very young players in the NWSL. There's one actually at San Diego Wave, and I cannot remember her name right now. Let me find it. But she's injured pretty badly. Melanie Parcenas, that's probably not how you pronounce it, but she's only like she's 16 and she's picked up a pretty bad injury, as far as I can recall just recently. And it's, and everyone's like, oh no, it's awful. She's gonna be out injured. And it's like, yeah, it is awful, but it's almost like 16-year-olds shouldn't be playing week in, week out with fully grown adults.
Yeah, and training
Like it's
every day,
almost
and
like it's almost like there are rules for a reason.
yeah, exactly right. I think
Child
this is
labor
all Ellie
laws, where are
Carpenter's fault.
you? True. To be
Yes.
fair though, the dub was a very different landscape.
It was a
Oh,
very
good.
different landscape.
Yes.
Look,
I mean,
it's good
what?
to circle back to our feature Matilda for
Yes. I
the
mean, the thing is, and like, not to say one rule for us, another for them, but the dub, well, I mean, there's a lot of physios and teachers in this, in our competition. And also post-COVID, like the median age feels like it's somewhere between 20 and 22. So
We, I mean,
while
we talk about college being the best path into the dub, into the NWSL, but like we have a very well-educated cohort of football players within the W League.
Yes.
The amount of kinesiologists and exercise scientists
Oh my goodness.
you would not believe.
That's
So
right.
many business majors and coffee shops going around.
It's I can't believe I remember this actually reminds me of something I've seen in an NPL men's game where someone went down with injury and they were checked on by one of their teammates who was also a physio. And I actually can't believe I haven't seen that in the dub yet.
Well, I was
Well,
going to say, aren't
sure, because
the like, a
odds
third of
are.
them like paramedics as well?
Ellie Brusher's
So,
got a pretty handy physio background from my understanding. So, and yeah, obviously Teresa Polias, one of our most capped dub players. Like, I mean, she was captaining a team full of players that she was old enough to teach. So.
yes.
I wonder when she, if she walks into the dressing room. Do they like address her like a classroom
Oh
full
yeah, they
of
say,
students?
"Good
So everyone's
morning, Miss
chatting.
Polias, and peace be with you."
Yes,
So it's my
exactly.
bunch of
Miss
chatter,
Public
chatter.
Education right here.
So all the chatter's at a decent volume. She walks in, everyone becomes quiet. Is that
Yeah,
quite
she
fair?
says
No, no,
she
no.
does.
There's
She
a
does
very
these ones.
specific tuneful. Good morning, Miss Polias. God
Yeah,
bless you.
she definitely has. She's definitely the one writing on the whiteboard,
Yes.
saying, "Come on, Auntie, you can come and have a ride.
Yes.
We're 2-0 down. Come and solve the problem for the class."
Oh.
Oh,
Anyway.
but I'm just tickled by Madge re mimicking the tone of voice that every child who grows up in Australia addresses a teacher by when they're in a group. It's like,
Our culture.
it is proper Australian culture. State football scores. I'll do that later. Dale, any NPL New South Wales takes?
Football good, getting punched in the face bad.
Okay. Yep. That's terrible.
That's my state-based football talk.
Tough scenes, but let's see. What did I see? I
Putting
mean,
Voltaren on my nose because it's the only topical painkiller that
oh, ouch. Anyway, yes. Oh, I saw Apia beat Illawarra Stingrays 5-2. 2 goals for Ashley Crofts, the Queen of Blacktown. Also, Charlotte Lancaster with a goal and two assists. So she's doing well after those fears that she'd broken a leg a couple of months ago. So a bit hyperbolic there, but good to see Charlotte back. Also, shout out to my employer, still top of the table, although they did almost chuck the game away against Emerging Jets, leading 3-0 and then winning, hanging on to win 3-2, but as Dale says, they don't draw pictures on the score sheet. And because I discovered that a spectator at the game I called actually listens to the podcast, so now I suppose I have to acknowledge the derby. Gladesville Ravens 3, Northwest Sydney Spirit 0. And yeah, Ravens, very good value for the 3 points. Pretty much played Spirit off the park, unfortunately for Spirit. Now, Queens, Kings, and the Emperors of the Week. Madge, yep, you can go first.
Oh, look, I'm just giving a shout out to Mary Fowler just kicking the leather off the ball to
Oh.
get Man City there. Oh God, I was about to do an Americanism, but I won't. Get their first goal.
I
You know what I was about to say.
know.
And then backing it up with another one. But that first goal was
Oh.
just beautiful outside the box. The keeper wasn't like that badly placed. She just, it was just top corner, really beautiful shot. I can't, and I think it was her first goal. Well, no, first goal this season, maybe.
I don't think so, but it's
No?
their first goal in a while, though.
Yeah, it's,
Yeah, I think she's.
but yes, check it out online. It is definitely worth having a gander at.
Yep. Well, well, 5 goals in the WSL. I've seen quickly, so that won't include any cup of action. But yes, you're right. Right, Madge Mary Fowler definitely put it in the upper 90 against Bristol City. I'm sorry. I'm not. Emma, who's your selection?
My queen of the week is Letitia McKenna, who scored one of City's three goals in the final just then. Sorry, I completely lost my train of thought. No, it was a really tidy goal. She just didn't seem to think about it, just knew what to do and what was going to happen. Bit of a personal pick for me because I actually interviewed and her younger sister, Tian, earlier this week and wrote about it for Impetus ahead of the final. So, yeah, good luck to her in the granny.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is if Emma interviews you, you'll score goals in the dub. So get on it, players. Get in touch with
We'll
Emma.
be
Get
putting your phone number out on Twitter later.
it. Oh,
Cannot express how much I don't want that.
yes. Oh, I'm
cannot speak.
not. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just like I
Eric's
may
just
have some
logging
work.
out of
I may have some work. I may have some
Twitter
work to
account.
do. Just in a moment. But anyway, Dale, who have you chosen?
Mine is 16-year-old Izzy Hobson, who scored Everton's equaliser, last minute equaliser against Arsenal at Walton Hall Park on the weekend. As I said, she's a 16-year-old academy player. Well, not an academy player. She's a young player for the Ev, and she's a lifelong Evertonian, so I can only imagine what that was like for her. Definitely would have been on my bucket list when I was 16. But she also became the youngest player to ever score in the Women's Super League, and she was the youngest player to score for Everton since Nikita Paris in, I believe, 2014. It's also the first time that Everton have taken points off Arsenal in 12 years, and basically ended their title hopes. So a big win, a big week for her, and I'm sure that she's telling all of her mates about it at school.
Yep, and because he is still a high schooler, but please look after her, Everton. Take it
Yep.
easy, despite the goal. Yep, and my queens of the week. We pretty much knew this was going to happen the week before, but they did seal it. Crystal Palace promoted to the WSL. But been a great season for Polly Doran and the gang, and ending it in front of a record a crowd for their women's team, 6,796 people inside Selhurst Park to watch Palace seal the title and lift the trophy. So well done to everyone involved. So there you go, Palace. Make sure you re-sign Polly Doran, and then I will give you lots of money for customized jerseys. Is that it? Yes. So, thanks for tuning in and listen to our many, many, many tangents. On behalf of Magella Card, Emma Burke, and Dale Roots, this is Eric Subiano signing off for episode 197 of the Beyond 90 podcast. Take care, have plenty of good vibes, great coffee, sick tattoos, Razzlers, and may your semifinals be as good as what we've seen this week. See you next time.